This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. Of course, homosexuality today in our nation is becoming more and more popularized and prevalent. And we want to examine that societal and cultural phenomenon and compare it with the Word of God. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? And I hope that we can study this together in an impassioned way. In that sense, what I mean by that is that we don't just immediately turn off the program or switch to another station once we hear the direction that we're going. I hope that we will, with a sound mind, be rational, be understanding, listen, and consider what the Bible says. I'm not interested this morning in giving my opinion about homosexuality or how I was raised to view it or what I think or feel. Our topic this morning is what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. After all, this is the Let the Bible Speak program. And that's what we want to do each and every week, not just today, but each and every program. What does God's Word say about the matter? And I hope that we will listen with open minds and open ears. We're in a culture today that shuts down immediately when we hear something that is different than what we think or feel. We either close our ears, of course that's nothing new. We find people even in Bible times closing their ears to things that were being taught from God's Word. We'll either close our ears or we will try to shut the mouths of the other person that is speaking. We try to shut them up. We try to put fear into them where they will be quiet. We'll name call. We will call them homophobic or something along those lines, racist or something, some prejudicial term to try to put fear into people so that they'll be quiet. Can we just simply listen and consider and study and keep an open mind? I hope that we can do that. As human beings, with a rational mind, we don't have to act like animals. We can just simply sit and listen and understand and learn. And I hope that we will do even more than that and appreciate what God's Word says about the matter and bring our lives into conformity to it. Let's take a look at what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. Beginning with the word homosexual, made up of two parts, homo and sexual, the Greek word homos, meaning the same. Two things that are the same. We have some English words like homogenize, homonym, homophone, two words that sound the same but are spelled differently. So, homo or homos meaning the same, and of course sexual meaning sexual intercourse or a sexual desire for someone of the same sex. And so we're talking about sexual intercourse between two men and sexual intercourse between two women. Then there's the word lesbian. This is from the homosexuality of the Greek poetess Sappho, a woman and her followers in the city of Lesbos, Greece, 600 BC. They were known for women with women sexual activity, and so in that place, and so the word lesbian came from that. Then we have a third term, sodomy. There used to be sodomy laws on the books in many cities and states. A lot of that is going by the wayside. But when two men or two women would engage in sexual activity, they would be guilty of breaking sodomy laws. Sodomy, of course, comes from the biblical city of Sodom in the Old Testament, mentioned in Genesis chapter 18 and 19. Any sexual intercourse regarded as abnormal, as between persons of the same sex, especially males. That's from Webster's Dictionary, page 1385. The previous definition of lesbian, Webster, page 839, and homosexual, Webster, page 696. Just simply defining some English words with the truthfulness of what is going on. It's always good to start with an accurate definition of a word. And that's what we're looking for. And especially the truth of God's word on the matter. And the reason it's important to talk about this topic is the current state of affair in our society. Homosexuality is accepted by many in our society. And when it first came out years ago in our society, people were less militant, but today they're very militant about it, very proud. We had Gay Pride Month earlier in the summer. It's promoted with a pride and a forcefulness today, and so we need to take a look at it. It doesn't appear to be going away anytime soon. It appears to be getting stronger and stronger. And the acceptance of homosexuality is basically one of the main talking points of presidential candidates who are running for office. They're asked, do you accept homosexuality, and will you give them what has been called basic human rights? Human rights is being used to defend immoral sexual behavior. When we hear the word right, then we automatically assume that a person can be doing such and such. We need to get back to what the Bible says about these matters. So we have homosexuality is promoted very early in life. It's promoted in children's programs. Just recently, So homosexuality is promoted at an early age. The PBS program Arthur, the cartoon Arthur, just earlier this year, put out an episode promoting a gay marriage. So it's promoted early in life, even in some school curriculum. It's promoted in children's books. A few years back, there was the book Heather Has Two Mommies, another book Daddy's Roommate. And so it starts early in life. It's promoted in the mainstream media and entertainment industry. Years ago, there was the program Will and Grace and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And more programs have been added promoting homosexuality. Then there's the entertainment industry and the Hollywood stars, Ellen DeGeneres and others, whom are applauded for their lesbianism and homosexuality. And if you say anything against it, you're homophobic. We'll talk about that word later. So it's promoted and accepted. Top leaders of our nation and Hollywood stars are homosexual. And when you go around talking about how that homosexuality is a civil right or a human right, and people don't examine that carefully, then it just sounds all American. Who wouldn't be for civil rights and human rights? And if someone has a right, you can't deny them. Let me ask you this. How long will it take on our nation until somebody is claiming that a rapist has civil rights, or that a pedophile has civil rights. I've seen a few stories already from Europe where pedophilia, that sex with an underaged child, is being defended by the educated elite. How long will it take for it to get to America? There are many people who are claiming civil rights and human rights, and many states have same-sex marriage laws. The Supreme Court upholds same-sex marriage, the so-called highest court in the land. They're actually not. God's court is even higher. But what is called the highest court in the land upholds it. And it's also accepted by many in religion. And so it's difficult to take the Bible and look at it fairly when you have religious people who carry a Bible and they say that their Bible teaches that homosexuality is fine. There are many denominations that are ordaining homosexual priests and bishops. And several years ago in the city of Houston, there were some Churches of Christ even that were openly gay and homosexual. And so it touches many aspects of society, education, entertainment, politics, religion, and there's more and more a consensus that it's fine and okay. And I believe that someone like myself in today's program would even be considered off base among so-called conservatives. Homosexuality is becoming a topic where nobody's supposed to say anything against it. And so, with all of that, plus the redefinition or the description of homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle, or a gay lifestyle, or a loving relationship, or a significant partner or significant other. People talk about, well, they just simply have a different sexual orientation, or they're exercising their civil and human right. We have all of these descriptions and these words that we use that are not biblical. God never used any of these terms. He used negative terms, both in the Old and New Testament. We put these positive, sugar-coated terms on it, and then that adds to the justification of it. So, the current state of affairs in our nation is that homosexuality is perfectly fine, and not only fine, but it should be celebrated and promoted with Gay Pride Month. We're very proud of it. And homosexual activists, their agenda is nothing less than complete and total acceptance. Those who do not go along with their agenda and do not condone homosexuality, well, they're charged with using hate speech, as no doubt I would be charged on this program today. They're insensitive. They're intolerant. They're racist. They're bigoted. They're mean-spirited. They're hate-mongers. They're gay bashers. They're homophobic. They're judgmental. And all of that goes together with all of the things that we've said earlier. And the person who wants to take the Bible, not his opinion, but he wants to take the Bible and show that God is against homosexuality, he's all these negative things, and he's just to shut up. You know, that's exactly what happened to Lot. In Genesis chapter 19, when Lot moved his family to Sodom and Gomorrah, they experienced this homosexual activity. And when two angels came to Sodom, chapter 19 and verse 1, and they began to talk to Lot, the men of the city wanted to have a sexual relationship with them. And so they come to Lot's home asking, and we'll read about this some more later, but they come asking for these two men because they wanted to have a sexual relationship with them. And when Lot said, "No, I have two daughters, you know, have a sexual relationship with them," which he should not have done. Notice what they said to him. They didn't want that. They didn't want the two women. They wanted other men. Genesis 19, verse 9, "This one fellow, Lot, came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." You're going to come in here and tell us how to live our life? That's exactly what is going on today. It's the same line of reasoning. Men engaging in homosexual activity, when you try to correct it or say anything against it, "Who made you a judge over us?" So the claim of, well, you're just judgmental. And then homophobic. Phobic means fear. This is a complete misappropriation of terms. We're not fearful of homosexuals. I don't fear them. There's no fear in my heart. I'm not scared of anything. I don't fear anything. I don't fear that I'm going to catch something. I don't fear that I'm going to see something. There's no fear whatsoever. It's simply looking at what God's Word says. Sometimes people say, well, you fear what you don't understand. And so you just don't understand what these two men are doing or these two women are doing. Nope. I understand what they're doing. I'm married. I have four children. I very much understand the sexual intercourse procedure and process, and there's no ignorance about anything. I understand everything. It's not fear coming from ignorance. It's not fear that I might see or catch something or be around something that's going to be a problem. No fear whatsoever. I've spoken before with gay men, stood in their presence just a few feet away from them, spoke with them nicely, never feared a thing. Has nothing to do with fear. But that's thrown up all the time. Xenophobic, genderphobic, homophobic. Same thing with Islamophobic. I don't fear those of Islam. No, nobody's fearing anybody. I'm taking God's Word and I'm taking a look at it in comparison and contrast to the life of the homosexual. And I'm seeing what God's Word says about it, and I'm trying to share that message with the homosexual and others. It has nothing to do with fear. What if I wanted to murder people? And somebody was trying to point out in the Bible that I shouldn't do that. I'll just call them murder phobic. You're just afraid of murderers. Would that work? What about pedophile phobic? If I wanted to be a pedophile and you didn't like that and you were trying to point out to me why that was wrong, I would just call you pedophile phobic. Does that work? It doesn't work, does it? And it doesn't work with homophobic. There's no fear whatsoever. It's simply seeing what God says about this activity. What does he say about it? That's all that really matters at the end of the day. So, while we're here in Genesis chapter 19, let's start here in what we call the patriarchal period, the period before the law of Moses. From Adam and Eve up to the giving of the law of Moses in Exodus chapter 20, what we call the patriarchal period, what do we find with regard to this behavior? Well, in Genesis chapter 19, we read verse 9. If you back up to verses 5, 6, and 7, the homosexuals of Sodom say, "Where are the men that came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." The word "know" here is a euphemism for sexual intercourse. We know that from Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, Adam knew his wife Eve, and they bare a son. And the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. It's a euphemism for sexual activity. So the men of Sodom come to these two men, these two angels in man form. "Where are the men that came to thee? Bring them out that we may know them." And Lot went out unto them at the door and shut the door after him. And he said, "I pray you, my brethren, do not so wickedly." Well, wait a minute. It's okay. It's a lifestyle that's fine. No, he said, "Do not wickedly." He understood that. "Behold, now I have two daughters that have not known man. Let me, I pray thee, bring them out unto you, and do unto them as good as in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for as much as they are come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, this Lot fellow. He will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and drew near to break the door. And you see today that people are becoming more and more emboldened and proud in their behavior. And they're going to have it, and you better step aside. But the men put forth their hand and brought Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. These two angels smote these homosexual men with blindness. There have been all kinds of excuses made about this passage where people say that homosexuality is not condemned here. What is condemned here is just them being inhospitable. They weren't very nice to the guests that came to Lot. And so that's the wickedness that is going on here. Well, that's actually not true, because we have an inspired commentary on this from Jude, the Lord's brother. And we find that in verse 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, having in like manner with these given themselves over to fornication and gone after strange flesh, are set forth an example of suffering the punishment of eternal fire." Their problem was not inhospitality. Their problem was they were going after strange flesh, men with men. And they're set forth as an example, Jude says, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. I heard just this past week where some, even claiming to be conservative in their political leanings, were bothered by the fact that a preacher in another state was saying that homosexuals who don't repent and who don't get rid of their sin, they're going to hell. And they were bothered by the fact, these conservative commentators on TV were bothered by the fact that this preacher would say something like that. Jude, in the New Testament, Jude said that these men are set forth as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. That preacher was just simply saying what Jude is saying. So the sin in Genesis 19 is not inhospitality or being rude or unkind and not accepting of guests. It was going after strange flesh. It was men with men. What about when we come to the Mosaic period, the law of Moses that God gave to the nation of Israel? We're very familiar with the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and then other laws that followed. In the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. So it was wicked under the patriarchal period, and we're going to find out that it's the same thing under the law of Moses. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. Thou shalt not lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. It's interesting that people will say that homosexuality is fine, but what about bestiality? What about in America if that got popularized and men and women were wanting to have sexual relationships with animals? And people do that. It's just not popularized. You'll find here and there people who do that, different societies. Verse 23 talks about bestiality, where a lot of people would say, oh no, don't do that. Just the verse right before it speaks of homosexuality, and everybody's fine with that. It was condemned in the law of Moses. And what if somebody wanted to engage in bestiality, and you didn't like that, and you told them they shouldn't do that, and he just said to you, well, you're beastophobic. Would that work? You're just beastophobic. Animal phobic. No, that wouldn't work, would it? What about Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13? We'll stop with this. Leviticus 20 and verse 13. If a man lie with mankind as with womankind, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. It's an abomination. God uses those terms instead of the nice sugar-coated terms that are found today. Friends, when the Bible teaches about homosexuality, it condemns it. And I hope that you'll keep an open mind about these kinds of things and continue to be with us and join us. We'll pick up next week where we left off looking at the Bible and homosexuality. We're looking for truth. We're looking for what God says, and we might have to go against what's found in culture to stand on God's side, and we would encourage you to do that very thing. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope that you'll have a good day.